I'm joined once again by Mark Haybittle, the Managing Director of Supercar Secrets. Welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you, Carly?
Yeah, really good. We've already got a caller on the line ready to have a chat. But just quickly,
before we
get to the first call and start going through the text messages, let's talk about differing car values and what might be, say, cheap in one country is often considered a treasure in another, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, some of the Japanese cars, for example, really have very low comparative value in the United Kingdom. They were often referred to as Jap crap there back in the day. And that has kind of stuck, I guess. So the values of Japanese cars or Japanese collectible cars can be significantly lower over there, as we find. Than they are here. So moving them from one country to another is highly advantageous.
Yeah,
highly
so what advantageous. Sort of cars are you referring to that, say, might go for a really low rate in the UK? Like, what would they sell for here?
Well, I mean, a good example would be an early 90s Toyota MR2. If one was to look on the Gumtree.co.uk website, you'd find them for £3,000, £4,000, whereas over here now with the current price range that they're seeing at, they're sort of between $45,000 and $60,000 here.
Wow! So hang on, £4,000 in the UK, and then between $45,000 and $60,000 in Australia.
Correct, and that's one of about 84 cars that we're specialising in at the moment, and shifting from the UK to here, and that's one of the main cars that's in our investment portfolio, and that's the reason why, because you don't just have the growth that everyone knows that classic cars have got, but you've also got the arbitrage factor from one country to the other. So you add the two together and you end up with an extremely lucrative scenario. So that's why everyone's jumping in with us, Kylie.
Yeah, for sure. And now, before we talk about which Australian cars are really valued in other countries, including the UK, but elsewhere as well, I just want to introduce Bob from Andover, because you were talking about Toyotas, and Bob has actually called about a 1967 Toyota Crown Ute. Hi, Bob. How are you going?
I'm sitting down now, but I was in the car before.
Oh, okay. So, Bob, you've got a 67 Toyota Crown Ute. Meet Mark. Mark from Secret Supercars. What do you think that Bob's Toyota Crown Ute's worth?
Well, it's hard to say without seeing it, and the conditions of those early Crown Utes do vary a huge amount. But all I can say is that the last one that we had our hands on, which would have been about 18 months ago now, that we bought and sold in Australia from one collector to another, we actually got $42,000 for that vehicle.
Did you hear that, Bob? $42,000. So what do we know about yours? Have you got any more details, Bob?
Well, the Toyota Crown Ute I got, I originally bought it for next to nothing, and I did it up and I used it for my service ute in the bodyworks. And it stayed with me. I've had it for well over 30 years. And it's got straight body. It's got a 2.6 motor, not a 2.3. And it's got a rebuilt gearbox, rebuilt motor, but would be a loving restoration job for someone, providing they can find some brake parts, because a stupid mechanic went and lost them.
Oh, no, how frustrating.
And it would be an ideal restoration project.
Yeah, sounds like it, Bob. Well, that's very interesting. Look, thanks so much for calling up. Sounds like you would have seen a few good cars in your day if you had a bodyworks. Did you get some interesting cars come through? Did you own a bodyworks place?
Yep, and I used to sell Simca wagons to Pommyland. Another little question, if I may.
Yes.
A 1997 Ford Falcon long reach ute. What sort of money are they looking at now? And it's low mileage.
What sort of mileage, Bob?
300,000, which is low for its age.
What do you think,
yeah,
Mark?
Well, 300,000 is low for its age, but in the collector circle, you know, normally low is considered to be about 50,000 or 60,000. But that vehicle there, it's probably not worth huge amounts, but they are still quite rare, so probably only about 15,000 for that.
There you go, Bob, 15,000. And I've got one last question for you. If you owned a Bodyworks, what was the most collectible car that you ever saw come through the Bodyworks?
The most collectible car that I did restoration work on was a 1927 Chandler.
Oh, what's that? A Chandler, Mark Haybittle? What's a Chandler?
It's a bit before my time, unfortunately. My expertise with these cars only really starts at about 1965, so I actually don't know what a Chandler is. I really don't.
We'll investigate. Yeah. Well, lovely to hear from you, Bob.
You're welcome.
Good to chat. There we go. If anybody else has a car they would like to chat about, you can call 1300 222 936, or if it's easier, you can text 0438 922 936. So getting back to the cars, Australian cars, Mark, that are valued highly in other countries, what are some of those that people might have that they could get better money than they realise?
Yeah, well, certainly as we've discussed before, Kylie, as you know, any early Range Rovers built between 1970 and 1976, they are certainly fetching huge money in the UK, $360,000 to $370,000 for a fully restored one.
Yep, still can't get my head around those figures, but they are big figures.
They are, certainly are. But interesting enough, the early Toyota Land Cruisers, the FJ40s, they're also climbing up the charts very, very quickly indeed as well.
Oh, so, interesting. An FJ40, I'm just trying to visualise. Is that like the standard body shape that you see in the 80 series and the 100 series? Like, I mean, I know they're a bit older looking, but is that the same body shape?
Yeah, it's a little bit before that. It's the one that has the headlights in the middle and the indicators and park lights out on sort of stalks on the front guards, and they look a little bit like a Jeep. It's a sort of 1965 through to 1980, or sorry, 1975.
And are they common in Tassie and elsewhere?
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. Lots of people bought FJ40s, and they're really racing up the charts here in Australia as well. Anything up to $100,000 for a FJ40 Land Cruiser. But interestingly, in the UK, we've been getting £65,000 to £70,000, which is $140,000. For the same vehicle, you know?
Yeah, and so an FJ40, what could you pick one up for if you got a bargain? Doesn't sound like they're bargains these days.
Yeah, well, that's right. The bargains are rapidly disappearing if they haven't already. But what the ones that we picked up ourselves from collectors over the last 18 months or so, we were picking up for sort of $5,000 to $6,000 each, and then doing some work on them, doing some restoration work and picking up, as I said, north of $100,000 for them in the UK, you know.
My guest is Mark Haybittle from Supercar Secrets. It's a great opportunity on the program on a Thursday night between 8 and 8.30 to chat about your amazing old cars you might have in the garage. So if you want to text, you can 0438 922 936, or you can call like Robert in Hobart has, 1300 222 936. Hi, Robert. What have you got?
Hi. Ironically, I have a 93 Maserati 222. So when I heard the number to dial in, I thought, that's ironic.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's a 1993 Maserati 222 SR, which is the last of the three valves, twin turbo V6s, the 2.8s. Not a hugely common car, but this one's actually, it's also got the additional tropical pack in it, which I understand is additional cooling, like for the diff and so forth, which was an option for hotter climates like Papua New Guinea, Australia, other areas that they were selling them into. So they seem to sort of go up and down a bit in value, but it's sporadic when they come up on car sales.
So yeah, just tell me, Robert, what colour is it, and do you have the full service history?
No, I bought the car back in 2005. I'm the third owner of the vehicle, so prior to that, it was just the two owners. It was bought by a doctor, traded back in on a new Maserati. It was bought by another gentleman who owned a Maserati and then sold it, and then he bought this one, had it for about a year, I think, or two. And then I bought it, and I've got the complete sort of obviously service history since then. It's black, and it's all original numbers. It's all original.
Okay, sounds pretty impressive. I don't know, when you say Maserati to me, I think, whoa. So, Mark, Maserati's worth a bit. What about this one?
Yeah, they're actually starting to rise in value. They came from quite a low base, and people have started to appreciate them for what they are now, and they are quite a nice car. They really are. What sort of kilometres has it got on showing, Robert?
About 137,000.
Right, okay, all right. If it had lower Ks, around about 50 or 60,000 Ks, it would probably be getting up, well, touching on $100,000 mark, about $95,000 to $100,000.
Right.
With those Ks, it's probably worth a little bit less, probably in the 70s.
Right. So they're sort of getting some appreciation because being of the bi-turbo era, I know it's sort of towards the end before the Ghiblis came out, but they had a bit of a interesting reputation.
Yeah, they certainly did. It wasn't all good. But,
No, I think they just when they got them right, they stopped making them.
well, they got them sorted out, and then it really became the Ghibli after that. So the Ghibli was quite an attractive car, really, when you all things considered. But the Biturbo, you know, they're a little bit of a Marmite car. You know, there's those that love them, those that don't love them.
That's a funny expression. I haven't heard that. A Marmite car.
Yeah, you love it or hate it.
I'm not a Marmite fan.
I can agree with that. There's some people it's a bit of a love or hate, I guess, with any car can be. But these ones are sort of, yeah, they sort of had a bit of a bad rep, but not a lot of them made over quite a long production time, starting in the sort of early mid-80s and ending around, I think, 94, 95 was the last of the sort of true biturbos.
Yeah, it was October 94, the last one rolled off the production line. But the production line, as you would know, was a bit sporadic. They sort of built a few and then stopped and then built a few more and stopped again. And it was all a little bit random, really, which is why the unreliability issues came to the front, I think.
Yeah, I think my understanding of them is not one was built the same.
No, that's right.
So, well, I think you two could talk about Maseratis all day, boys, but I think that we've got 70 grand for you, Robert, if you want to offload your Maserati with 137,000 Ks. But we're going to say thank you and take a call from John in Launceston now. John has got a question about a Holden Commodore from around about 1980, I believe. Hi, John.
Yeah. It's a Model VB sedan. Would that be about 1980, Mark, around about?
It's a bit before that. It's probably 78, 79, some of the very early ones of VB.
Right, 79, correct.
Depends if it's an SLE. Is it an SLE or just an ordinary one?
No, I reckon it's just an SL, I think.
Yeah, you'd know because the SLEs had a pretty sumptuous trim. They were quite often a maroon in colour, the interior, and it was a really sort of luxurious trim that they used. And they had a little SLE badge on the back that was SL then /E. And they were actually a really nice car. But a VB Commodore, if it's an SL, rising now because, you know, they're no longer built, probably in the region of about $18,000 and rising.
Oh, really? Is that right?
There you go.
This is a yellow one, and it's just got the, you know, it's very well inside. It's very good, if you know what I mean. And
yep.
My father put a new engine in it and didn't quite finish it off, but there's also another car that you can get parts from, so, you know, to make it really good. So, yeah, so you're looking at about 18,000.
Mm. Is it a six-cylinder or V8?
No, six-cylinder.
Okay, yeah, so 202 engine, the red engine. About 18,000 for them and rising. I mean, you can't find them anywhere now. You get Commodores, very, very hard to find, but they were you know, 10 a dozen at one point, but look at them now. They like Falcons. You can't find them.
And very briefly, a Toyota Corolla station wagon about, oh gosh, about 1984. What would that be, please?
Well, if it was the earlier one, the K70, that'd be about 25 grand's worth. But being 84, it's a little after that, so it's probably more of about 16, 17 grand's worth now.
Right. Oh, right. It's
sitting on a bit of money, John.
History, you know.
So when you say K70, that's an engine number, isn't it?
No, that's the type number, the designation. It's just known as a Corolla K70 wagon.
All right. Well, I think that might be it. So what would that be, please, just very briefly?
Oh, well, if it's a K70, you know, a really nice K70 wagon with low Ks, like under 100,000 Ks, and history and books and all the rest of it, recently a collector that we know sold theirs for 22.5. So there you go.
Oh, thank you very much indeed.
Good on you. Thanks so much, John.
Thank you.
Bye. John in Launceston there. Now we've got Glenn in Geilston Bay. Glenn, what have you got?
Well, I haven't got it.
That's you had it.
Well, I know where it is, and I'm interested in making an offer on it. It's a 78-79 Ford LTD, the 351 with the 3-speed auto, electric seats, the aircon, the power steering. I think they had the 16-inch wheels. They were a great car. They didn't stop very well, but I know where it is, and I'm interested in making an offer on it.
What do you think, Mark? What's that worth?
Right. You've got to be a bit careful with the LTDs because looking at them, you would think that because they've got much different lights at the front and back to Falcons and so on, you'd think that they'd have to really be worth quite a lot of money, but they're not. They're not a thing that everyone seems to like that much, and so I'd be a little bit careful on that, my friend, because realistically, it's probably not worth much more than, well, as it is, if it's just sort of sitting somewhere and it needs some work, it's probably not worth more than $3,000 or $4,000, to be fair.
There you go. Hopefully that one satisfies you, Glenn. Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you very much, Mark, and thank you, Kylie, for the estimation. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries.
Thank you.
They're coming in thick and fast, Mark. This is a text message. This text is from Matt. Matt's in New Norfolk. He says he's got a 1988 Skyline Silhouette GTS. He says it's only one of 200 built by Nissan. It's a special vehicle division, or comes from the special vehicle division. All original, unmodified, 200,000 Ks, paint's original, not touched up. He said it is a little faded on some of the edges. The body's very straight, though. He's had it for 12 years, and he bought it for only $3,000. And he says, I love this evening show, and it's great to hear all about the classics. So what do you think about Matt's car in New Norfolk?
Well, look, as Matt says, they're an extremely rare car. I've only actually seen in the flesh two of those. Both were red, and I suspect this one will be red as well. They are a really nice version of a Skyline, and a really, well, quite an exotic version of a Skyline in many ways. There's not that many of them left. As he said, there was only 200 built. I only know of, well, I've seen two, and I know of another four, I think, that if I scan my memory with collector contacts here. Hard to value them because they don't come up very often at all. But given the credentials of the car, the kilometres are against it a bit with 200,000, but they've got to be worth about 25K. But it's hard to be more accurate than that without seeing the car. They are a rare thing, though.
Sake of Matt, is this the sort of car that if you just hold on to it, it'll probably go up in value?
Oh, it'll only go up. It'll only ever go up. It'll never, ever come down. Like some of the more specialised collectibles that we get, they never, ever drop. They cannot. They always rise. Just through the laws of scarcity.
Okay, now I'm going to give everyone one last opportunity for a quick call or a text message. We could take one more probably. 1300 222 936. Or I just want to know if you've seen an amazing car. I'll be satisfied with that. I want to know what incredible cars. Don't give the address, please. Could be, hiding away in sheds. So you can call 1300 222 936 or you can text 0438 0800 922 936. Now, after our last conversation, Mark Habitall, Supercar Secrets, I started going online and I was looking up 1950s amazing MGAs. There weren't many, I might say, in Tasmania. And I was also looking up Austin Healey's and the, what is it, the Frog Eye Sprite, the Austin Healey? Yeah, there was, they're classic little cars.
They're beautiful little cars and extremely rare now. And normally, the rule of scarcity would make them go through the roof on value, but it actually hasn't done that with Frog Eye Sprites, mainly because they're a little car with quite a small engine. They're not a fast car, so they're scarce, but they're and hard to find, but not highly valuable, as you would have seen from your investigations, Kylie.
Yes, but the actual other Austin Healey, the bigger body one, they seem to be, I guess, more available but more expensive.
Yeah, they are both of those things. Healey 3000s have had a real renaissance over the last 15 years. I have to say that they are one of the few cars that is actually starting to drop in value, and that is simply because most of them were built in the 60s, and then some of them were even built in the 50s, and a lot of the people that really appreciate those cars from that era are now getting a little bit, you know, aged. And so, you know, they're not buying them as frequently as they used to. And the interest level is starting to drop a little bit in Healey 3000s. So we've seen the prices drop. There was a time when you'd see them up to $140,000, $150,000 now, but you can actually buy quite a good one now, even one that's had a lot of work done on it for sort of $65,000, $70,000, $80,000, you know, that sort of money.
Yes. Yeah,
as so you would have seen from your investigation.
Yeah, well, it was pretty quick. I was kind of looking, going, oh, I have no idea. Half the time, it can be quite confusing on those car websites because you can't work out where the car is some of the time, and you don't know if you're looking on a scammer's site. So that's actually an interesting question. If you were looking, you know, if anyone is listing and looking, you know, just to generally find out what cars are worth, or they're maybe looking for a particular model or want to sell one, where would you recommend is a good website? A few different ones.
Yeah, look, as you know, we don't buy anything from a website or an auction site.
No, but for the average person.
But if we were to be perfectly honest, Gumtree would be a really good place to start. When Shirley Edwards Langford in the UK was first starting to have a look at things here in Australia just to help me, she found some really good things on Gumtree.co. Oh, sorry, Gumtree.com.
Whatever it is. Yeah, everyone can find Gumtree here.
Yeah, that's right, because there's the Gumtree over there in the UK as well. But she found some really good stuff on Gumtree.com here, .com.au.
Yeah, okay.
And so that's a really good site. What she also found too, and this is rather important, she did spend some time looking on a site called Just Cars, and she did find that some of those ads were actually quite old. In terms of years, I mean years.
Oh, but maybe the car could still be available, you think, even though...
Not really.
No. Oh, okay.
Every time she called up any of those ads, she found that the car had been long gone, and because it was at a significantly lower price than what she thought they were worth, which is why she called them, you know. So you need to run with a site that's current. And really, in Australia, the only one really that would be worth spending some time on would be Gumtree itself. And if you typed in Project Car, you'd probably come up with some really good things there that would reveal some of the classics, you know.
A quick text here. This might be our last one, I think. This person hasn't signed their name. They've just said, hey, just a little update on the Skylines. According to them, all the 1988 GTS silhouettes were white. All five-speed manuals, the 1989 model GTSs, 200 only, all red, with half manual and half automatics. Just a bit of trivia for us, says this texter. So that was nice. Clearly doing a bit of research.
That's right, and that just backs up some of the information we were talking about earlier and why those cars are pretty special, because of the low build numbers. And as I said, the two I've seen are both red. I've not actually laid eyes on the white ones. At all, but very rare car and a very, you know, and a really nice Skyline. They were a special Skyline, they were.
Well, we'd better not talk cars all night. It's been great having a chat again, Mark. Talk to you next Thursday at 8 o'clock.
Absolutely. Look forward to it, Kylie. Have a great week.
Yeah, you too. Mark Habital, Supercar Secrets. Remember, this talk, this chat happens every Thursday between 8 and 8.30. Right now, though, we're over time. It is 8:25 on ABC Radio Hobart and ABC Northern Tasmania.